And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Greenlanders voted to keep a statue that has become the centre of a dispute over the Arctic Islands' former colonial ties to Denmark. The capital Nuuk gave citizens a chance to vote on whether they want the bronze effigy of 18th century Lutheran Danish missionary Hans Egede to stay in place. It's one of the city's most famous monuments, but was recently the target of vandalism. According to Greenland state broadcaster KNR, 921 people voted to keep the statue and 600 voted against. The city will make its final decision in September. Greenland, which has about 56,000 inhabitants, is still part of the Kingdom of Denmark, but has extensive home rule. Last month, as the island celebrated its National Day, the statue was sprayed with red paint and its base had the word "decolonize" painted on it. A Lutheran, Egede established a colony in Greenland in 1721 with the aim of converting the island to his faith. His ship, Habet, the Hope, and two smaller ships departed Bergen on the 2nd of May 1721, bearing Egede, his wife and four children, and 40 other colonists. On the 3rd of July, they reached Greenland and established Hope Colony, with the erection of a portable house on Kangeg Island, which Egede christened the Island of Hope. Searching for months for descendants of the old Norse colonists, he found only the local Inuit people and began studying their language. Missioning amongst them required some imagination, as for instance, the Inuit had no bread nor any idea of it, requiring the Lord's Prayer to be translated as, "Give us this day our daily seal." His statue has been vandalized several times over the years. Female priests now outnumber their male counterparts in one of the world's leading churches for what is believed to be for the first time, it was revealed last week. The Church of Sweden announced a tiny majority of its priests were women 60 years after they were first allowed to wear the clerical collar. Of the 3,060 priests currently serving in Sweden, 1,533 are female, or 50.1%, said Christina Grenholm, secretary for the Church of Sweden. As Grenholm said, "From a historical perspective, this parity happened faster than we earlier imagined. A report from 1990 estimated that women would be half of the total clergy in 2090, and it took 30 years. The Lutheran Church of Sweden has allowed female priests since 1958 and first ordained three women in 1960. The church also has a female archbishop, Dr. Antti Jakelin. Marianne Edgerton, Director of Communications at the World Council of Churches, believed the figures represented a world first. Sweden and Norway were leading the way in the ordination of women, she said. By way of comparison, the Church of England last month announced that for the first time, a slight majority of the 570 deacons ordained last year were women. Almost one-third of its 20,000 active clergy is female. A growing proportion of senior posts, including bishops, archdeacons and cathedral deans, are occupied by women, with the figure rising from 25% in 2018 to 27% last year. The Church of England first allowed the ordination of women in 1994. One of the factors behind the quick rise in numbers in Sweden came in 1982. The Swedish Parliament scrapped a conscience clause that allowed male members of the clergy to refuse to cooperate with a female colleague. Women have long been overrepresented on theological courses. They accounted for 70% of those training for ordination in a study in 2013. But the gender gap is alive and kicking. Male priests earn an average of 2,200 Swedish krona, that's about £195, per month more than women do, according to the church's newspaper, Kirkens Tidning. As Greenholm said, many parishes during the Sunday service try to have both a man and a woman at the altar. Since we believe that God created human beings, both men and women, in God's image, it is essential that we do not only speak about it, it is also shown. Sheffield Cathedral is being investigated over bullying allegations after chorister parents expressed concerns regarding staff behaviour. Claims of bullying came after it emerged earlier this week that the cathedral would disband its choir because it does not meet the needs of a mixed urban community and should be more diverse. The complaints regarding allegedly intimidating behaviour towards musical staff and volunteers are believed to have been made in April. Peter Bradley, the cathedral's dean, has now ordered an external inquiry. It is understood a member of staff was alleged to have received a 45-minute threatening phone call at midnight from an official at the cathedral. Sheffield Cathedral Choir has lost three music directors within 5 years, the most recent resigned without explanation earlier this month, only weeks after being appointed. Former choristers said they were shocked and saddened. They added, "More must be done to make organisations more diverse and inclusive, but to use inclusion as a pretext to obscure mismanagement of music at Sheffield Cathedral is shameful." The Dean told the Daily Telegraph he very much hoped choristers, who would lose their place following the disbanding and recruiting, would re-audition. He added, "Of course we regret this and we recognise the real grief. They've not had their membership of the cathedral taken away, they're still valued parts of the community. If we'd felt that there was a really effective way of doing this within the gradual approach to increase choir numbers as well as spectators, that we'd tried, we'd be doing it." A spokesman for the cathedral said, "Whenever a complaint is made, the dean and chapter take it extremely seriously. In this case, a formal investigation into harassment and bullying is in progress by an external body." A northern Italian town has had enough of people taking the Lord's name in vain, and those who do will be fined up to €400, that's £360, for blasphemy. The city council of Sanara, a town with 10,000 inhabitants just outside Padua, introduced a new law making it illegal to blaspheme against any faith or religion and utter foul language in public. The mayor, Walter Stefan, said the move was designed to get rid of uncivilized behavior and promote public decency. "Blasphemy is offensive. It offends me," Mr. Stefan told the Telegraph. "With this law, you will not be able to cause offense to any religion. We have to respect the faithful." The mayor, a practicing Catholic, said it was not designed to protect only Christianity, but all faiths. "It is valid for Allah, Buddha, or Muhammad," he said. The blasphemy ban is part of a far-reaching local law aimed at tackling uncivil behaviour. It includes 75 articles with hefty sanctions for those who mow the lawn outside designated hours, walk their dog without a leash, or dump their rubbish in public places. "We have taken a series of measures to contain all those uncivilised activities that make coexistence difficult," Mr. Stefan said. "It would no longer be possible to cut the lawn at certain times, dogs must be kept on a lead, and those who are blasphemous will pay the consequences. We want to send a message that incorrect behaviour will no longer be tolerated." Mr. Stefan, a father of three, is not aligned with any major political party and has been mayor of the town since 2012. He was re-elected in 2017 with 52.2% of the vote. He sent flyers in four languages, including Chinese and Romanian, would be sent to residents to inform them about the new fines. "There may be bigger problems around, but we can't consider civility banal," he said. "If we let this go, young people will become louts. We want to create a courteous community and behaviour that prevents conflict." Omero Baden, a local councillor from the Five Star Movement, said he supported the law but did not know if the fines would be enough to improve behaviour, especially for that of young people in the community. Blasphemy was decriminalised in Italy in 1999, but certain sanctions remain for offences against the deity. In December last year, a man was fined €100 for blasphemy in front of a school near Savona. And finally, a priest met his Lutheran friend, Pastor Jamie, and told him that the previous night he had dreamed about a Protestant heaven. "It looked like a nice place," said the priest with a smile. "There were plenty of pubs, loud music and people dancing about," he said. "That's funny," said Pastor Jamie. "Last night I dreamed about a Catholic heaven. That also looked nice, with lots of flower beds, pretty trees and gardens." And what were the people doing? Asked the priest. Which people? Replied Jamie.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.